Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 21, Qualities of Sri Krishna. Verse 2160. Balayan means filled with great strength. 2161. See, lotus-eyed Krishna has thrown to a far distance, like a piece of cotton, the greatest demon, Arista, who is heavier and higher than the Vindhya mountain range. 2162. Another example. May the left hand of lotus-eyed Krishna, which has lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, protect you. Srila Prabhupada. Strong. A person who has extraordinary bodily strength is called Balayan. When Krishna killed Aristasura, some of the gopis said, "My dear friends, just see how Krishna has killed Aristasura. Although he was stronger than a mountain, Krishna plucked him up just like a piece of cotton and threw him away without any difficulty." There is another passage wherein it is said, "O my dear devotees of Lord Krishna, may the left hand of Lord Krishna, which has lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, save you from all dangers." Okay, so it's just so strong that here, Aristasura, who is, you know, bigger and heavier than a mountain, Krishna picks him up just like a piece of cotton and just throws. You know, it's just like, it's not a problem to pick up a piece of cotton. Right? Or how Govardhan Hill, how he's holding him up, and it's just, just like a little, like a ball. Like a child will play with a ball and hold it up with their hand, not a problem. So the same way. So may he protect one from all dangers. Because it means he's the strongest. No one's as stronger than him. 2163. Vaya sanvitaha. Vaya so vivi dhatvepi sarva bhakti rasasrayaha. Dharami kishora evatra nitya nana vilasavan. Though Krishna is endowed with all ages, which become more excellent, the age of Kaishora, ever fresh, endowed with all pastimes, manifesting all good qualities, and the shelter of all rasas is considered the best. Srila Prabhupada, ever youthful. Krishna is beautiful at his different ages, namely his childhood, his boyhood, and his youth. Out of these three, his youth is the reservoir of all pleasures. And is the time when the highest varieties of devotional service are accepted. At that age, Krishna is full with all transcendental qualities and is engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, devotees have accepted the beginning of his youth as the most attractive feature in ecstatic love. Right? Because at the later youth, you know, when he's 16, when he goes to Mathura and that, you see not as many rasas are manifest. And the intimacy, all the different things are less. Yes. But during the Kishore age, that the early youth, yes. Right? Yes. So then that is going to be the most wonderful. So it's the reservoir of all pleasures. So here we see this youth being used in two aspects. So yes. You're taking, he says, childhood and boyhood. So childhood would be the Kumara, boyhood would be the Pauganda. And so the Kishore is taken as early youth, or, you know, the beginning of youth. And then you have youth, full youth, from 16. So this adolescence, sometimes Prabhupada also uses adolescence. So that age is then when the most attractive feature is that. Srila Jiva Goswami. Krishna has three progressive ages, Kumara, Paraganda, and Kishore. Krishna attains identity with all these ages. This indicates the excellence of Kumara and Paraganda, as well as Kishore. In the phrase Vayasanvitaha, the word Anvita, having as its essential quality, means Anuita, obtaining identity with. Amar Kosh says that Anu means after or similar. Dharmi here means possessing all qualities, or a full manifestation of qualities. This is because it contains all rasas. This has been described in the chapter on Samanya Bhakti, first wave of the Eastern section. 2164. Filled with joy of recently manifested youth, the sweetness of Murari, defeating the spotless full moon with the effulgence of his smile, and made soft with the hint of the fresh sports of Cupid, gives great joy to the minds of the sweet-eyed gopis. Srila Prabhupada. At this age, Krishna is described as follows. The fourth force of Krishna's youth was combined with his beautiful smile, which defeated even the beauty of the full moon. He was always nicely dressed, in beauty surpassing even Cupid, and he was always attracting the minds of the gopis, who were thereby always feeling pleasure. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse is cited in order to show the supreme position of the greatest rasa called Shringara rasa. Tadatva means at that time, according to Amar Kosh, and also according to the same word, dara means slightly. A person who knows the languages of various countries, Sanskrita, the vernacular and the languages of animals, is called a knower of astonishing languages. So Krishna knows these languages in the various countries, because in different places they all speak different languages, but he also knows the languages of the animals. So he can understand what they're saying and speak to them. 2166. So there's astonishing languages. 2166. Krishna, Sauri, expressed himself in the vernacular to the young gopis of Raja, in Sanskrita to the respectful Indra, and in the colloquial dialect to the animals, to the people of Kashmira, and to the parents. How amazing. How has he become expert in all these languages? Right? So the colloquial, it means local dialect. So it means the animals, they have the local dialect. So probably even like here, the dogs here, they probably, it's a little bit different dialect than, let's say, the dogs somewhere else. But it's still the same language. And then also the colloquial dialect of the animals, to the parrots and the people of Kashmir.
Is that in a particular order on purpose?
I'm not sure. So, you know what we're saying here. Is it going up? The animals, then the Kashmiris, then the parrots? You know, the parrots are on the top, you know. So. Srila Prabhupada. Right, so astonishing languages, so Prabhupada's given that as wonderful linguists.
Yeah.
Rupa Goswami says that a person who knows the languages of different countries, especially the Sanskrit language, which is spoken in the city of the demigods, as well as other worldly languages, including those of the animals, is called a wonderful linguist. It appears from this statement that Krishna can also speak and understand the languages of the animals. An old woman in Vrindavan, present at the time of Krishna's pastimes, once stated in surprise, quote, "How wonderful it is that Krishna, who owns the heart of all the young girls of Brajabhumi, can nicely speak the language of Brajabhumi with the gopis, while in Sanskrit he speaks with the demigods, and in the language of the animals he can even speak with the cows and buffalo. Similarly, in the language of the Kashmir prophets, and with the parrots and other birds, as well as in most common languages, Krishna is so expressive." She inquired from the gopis as to how Krishna had become so expert in speaking so many different types of languages. Right. Yeah, so it appears that the local language, so they're speaking Brajbhasa, you know, in Vrindavan, and then he speaks Sanskrit with the demigods. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is the statement of an elderly, observant resident of Braja. It may be asked how the residents could address Krishna as Saurī, indicating that he was the son of Vasudeva, when the fact was hidden from them until Krishna went to Mathura. However, Garga informed Nanda during the name-giving ceremony that in previous lifetimes he had been the son of Vasudeva. For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:26-17. So then she must have heard. Thus, there is no contradiction if the residents address him as the son of Vasudeva. Though the young girls of Braja are mentioned, it is understood that all the residents are included. He spoke to them all in the vernacular, a special dialect of that particular region called Saraseni, language of Mathura. Braja and Mathura, of course, were practically the same place with the same dialect. The word Saurim from the word Sura means Sanskrita, the language of the Devatas. He also spoke to the animals, including the cows and buffaloes. Kireshu refers to the people of Kashmir and to parrots. So does that mean, okay, they're Brahmins, but they just parrot the mantras? Upa Brahmsha refers to a very low form of colloquial language. According to the situation, he spoke the particular language.
Did Krishna learn from Gurukul?
Yeah, it's one of the 64 arts. To know the different dialects of all the different regions and stuff like that. But he's God, he knows anyway. But in these things, there's always a reason given so that we're comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Agni gives him the Sudarshan Chakra. He always has it, but, you know, for pastime.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's more fun that way.
Yes, yes.
You know, that he's just playing the part of the human, and then he's given by the demigods the Sudarshan, so then he uses like that.
So he can speak English or French.
Yeah, if need be. That's what it says. Upa Brahmsha refers to a very low form of colloquial language. Yeah, so therefore he can speak. You know, so and not only that, within French he could talk to the rugby players. Like that, what do you call it? What's that one? It's a very rough form of French. They speak it like on the islands and stuff.
Corsican.
No, there, but also there, but also like in Mauritius.
Creole.
Yeah. You know, so that would be your roughest form of it.
I think Maharaj Mahabharata, when Vidura was warning the Pandavas.
Yes, he spoke in Malecha Bhasha. So who knows which one it was. But generally the British are famous as the Malechas. Yeah. 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 2167. A person is called a speaker of the truth whose words are never false. 2168. You said, quote, O Kunti, I will bring back your five sons to you from the battlefield alive, and with great honor. Your statement has come true, O Murari, even though the sun may become cold, and the mood may become hot. Your words will never be untrue. Yeah. 2169. So basically when they use that example, it means that that's the way it is. You know, it's just like, what do you call it, scholars even if they could count the grains of sand in the universe or the dust of particles, but they'll never be able to know the glories of the Lord. So we know they can't count all the grains of sand. So therefore, they can never even get close to understanding the glories. 2169. Though distinguishing himself as a Brahmana,
Disguising
himself as a Brahmana, Krishna told the truth to Jarasandha. O king of Magadha, understand that it is I, Krishna, your enemy, accompanying the two sons of Pandu. Srila Prabhupada. Right, so because most of the time you hear him as mentioned as the sons of Kunti. Right, because then it's the more close. But, you know, this is his enemy. You know, the king is his formal, so therefore, the two sons of Pandu. Srila Prabhupada. 8, truthful. A person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. Krishna once promised Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, that he would bring her 5 sons back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. After the battle was finished, when all the Pandavas had come home, Kunti praised Krishna because his promise was so nicely fulfilled. She said, "Even the sunshine may one day become cool, and the moonshine one day become hot." Because as it is now, the moonshine is cool and the sunshine is hot. So she's saying, even if it reverses. "But still your promise will not fail." Similarly, when Krishna, along with Bhima and Arjuna, went to challenge Jarasandha, he plainly told Jarasandha that he was the eternal Krishna, present along with the 2 of the Pandavas. The story is that both Krishna and the Pandavas, in this case Bhima and Arjuna, were Kshatriyas, warrior kings. Jarasandha was also a Kshatriya and was very charitable towards the Brahmanas. Thus Krishna, who had planned to fight with Jarasandha, went to him with Bhima and Arjuna in the dress of Brahmanas. Jarasandha, being very charitable towards the Brahmanas, asked them what they wanted, and they expressed their desire to fight with him. Then Krishna, dressed as a Brahmana, declared himself to be the same Krishna who is the king's eternal enemy. Right, so, because if he goes, he'll consider himself superior. And he wouldn't fight with them. He wouldn't agree. Like that. So, then, because they don't want to have a big battle, they just want to kill him. Right, because then for Rajasuya sacrifice, why waste so much energy? So then, they go and dressed as Brahmins. And so Jarasandha, being charitable to Brahmins, then he'll always give them what they want. Mm-hmm. He's very famous for that. So then, by going as Brahmins, he'll agree, even though he had a doubt that they were Brahmins. He thought they were just dressed up as Brahmins. Mm-hmm. But the rule in Manu is that even if someone's dressed as a Brahmin who's not a Brahmin and approaches you for charity, and you deal with them as a Brahmin, you'll get double benefit. Right? Mm-hmm. You won't get as much as if they were a Brahmin, but you'll get more than an ordinary person. Ordinary person begs, you give them something, you give them 10 rupees, you'll get back 10 in the future. Mm-hmm. But if they're dressed as a Brahmin, and because of that consideration, you give them 10 rupees, in the future you'll get 20. Right? But if they're an actual Brahmin, then depending upon their qualification, then you can get like 10, you know, 1,000, 10,000. If they're, you know, self-realized, 100,000, or, you know, like this. So for him, it's no loss. He's following the rule of Shastra, so even if they're not, and they're just dressed, that they've come like this, then there must be some need. And so then it still puts him in the position of he's giving in charity, he's taking care, he's protecting. So it maintains his identity, his ego. Srila Jiva Goswami, still on the topic of telling the truth, but with the fear of being repetitive, the author gives an alternative example, yata va. Samsarishtam means coming together. 2.170.9. Priyam varaha. Jane krita paradhe pi santva vadhi priyam vada. Speaking in a pleasing manner means speaking in a pleasing manner even to those who have offended. Right? So they're speaking truth. But then they're speaking in a pleasing manner. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these two, you know, at least in the modern culture, don't go together. Yes. Like that. Because much of the time, to speak the truth, generally one is harsh. Yes. But here is that he speaks the truth, meaning it has the potency. What he speaks, that happens. Yes. You know, or he only speaks what he can do. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, he won't just say things to say things. And then speaking in pleasing manners means whatever you're speaking, you'll say it in a nice way. Even if it's to someone who's been offensive. Because generally we take it, someone deals badly, then now we can be nasty as we like. Mm-hmm. But here's that, no, you can, because that takes control to deal nicely. You know, much of the time it's taken that, let's say you have aristocratic persons, and they don't speak, they always speak in a pleasant way. Mm-hmm. But it'll be seen much of the time by the common person that it's artificial. Mm-hmm. But it's artificial to the common person because they couldn't do that. You know, they don't have the control. As soon as the emotions come up, they have to speak whatever they feel. While this other, even though the emotions are there, the training, they'll speak properly. It doesn't mean that they don't have false ego and feel themselves superior. That's a fault. But they can't fault that they spoke nicely in such a situation. 2171. O King of the Snakes, though I have afflicted you, you do not find fault in me. For the good of the cows, worthy of respect by the Devatas, you should live far from here. Right? So he's chastised Kaliya. He says, though I have afflicted you, do not find fault in me, because I did it for the good of the cows who are worshipped by the Devatas. So you should live far from here. Right? Because just him living, he's so poisonous, just by living in the lake, he didn't poison the water. He wasn't trying to be nasty. It's just by being there, the water becomes poisonous. So he should go far from here to some place where that's not going to happen. Srila Prabhupada, pleasing talker. Person who can speak sweetly, even with his enemy, just to pacify him, is called a pleasing talker. Krishna was such a pleasing talker that after defeating his enemy Kaliya in the water of Jamuna, he said, my dear King of the Snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place. Kaliya was residing within the water of the Jamuna, and as a result, the back portion of that river had become poisoned. Thus, so many cows who had drunk the water had died. Right? So back portion means you have the portion where it flows, and then you have areas where it goes into where it doesn't flow. The water just sits, so it's called backwaters. Right? Like that. So that was an area, they call it a lake, but it was a lake on the Jamuna, so that means technically it's a backwater. You know, so the Jamuna would be flowing by there, but this place here, it's not flowing because it's not in the direct line, so it becomes backwater. So naturally, the poison would just sit there. Thus, so many cows that drunk the water had died. Therefore, Krishna, even though he was only 4 or 5 years old, dipped himself into the water, punished Kaliya very severely, and then asked him to leave the place and go elsewhere. Krishna said at that time that the cows are worshipped even by the demigods, and he practically demonstrated how to protect the cows. At least people who are in Krishna consciousness should follow in his footsteps and give all protection to the cows. Cows are worshipped not only by the demigods. Krishna himself worshipped the cows on several occasions, especially on the days of Gopastami and Govardhan Puja. 2172. The wise say that there are two types of eloquence, speaking which is pleasing to the ear and speaking with clever meaning. 2173. An example of speaking in a pleasing manner. O friends, whose heart will not be stolen by the words of Krishna, sweet with clear, soft pronunciation, an elixir of intense nectar in the placement of each syllable, a medicine giving life to the ears of all people by its sweet intonation. Srila Prabhupada, 10, fluent. A person who can speak meaningful words with all politeness and good qualities is called Vavadhuka, or fluent. Right? Because why would it be fluent? Because then you're not affected by you know, the emotions and that. So by the politeness and by that, then good qualities, you know what should be said and that. So you can just speak. Yes. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you have to sit there and control yourself and this and that. So you're not fluent.
Yes.
Right? So you might be able to get it down and then, you know, like this, and then be able to speak nicely. Then you're a pleasing talker.
Yes.
Right? But here it's that, it's just a natural thing to be able to speak in that way. Right? You understand? So what is the speaking? What is that ability, that attitude and all that? Does that make sense? They're connected. Yes?
Like, in order to be fluent, Krishna is quite, I say, controlled.
Yes.
Means,
yes.
It means there is a it's fluent because of control.
Yes, because of control.
Without control, he is not.
Yes, so controlled, and you know, in that he can speak matter. He sees that it's proper and all. But it also means that just he can speak very nice, clear, soft, all these things. So it's not just that aspect. It has that, and it has the aspect of just this very, you know, how he could say it. It's clear. You know, he's not saying it, so it's ununderstandable. Soft pronunciation, he's not talking too loud, you know, so the villagers might not come under this as an example, you know. And so like that. So it's just like everything he says is just so wonderful.
Yes.
Right? The other one, you could even say is that the phrasings that he's using is appropriate. And so it's pleasing. Because, you know, in other words, in the formal sense, it's pleasing. But here it's meaning that each word is just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. How it's stated, its delivery, everything is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? So it may be he's talking nicely as a pleasing talker, but it's not necessarily that how it sounds and everything is necessary. So nice.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah? There's a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Krishna speaking politely. When Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Maharaj, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the rain god Indra, a wife of one village cowherd man became captivated. She later thus described the speaking of Krishna to her friends. Quote, Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that it was as if he were pouring nectar into the ears of all present there. To hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted by him? Right, so it's the sweetness of the delivery. The other one is what you're saying is proper.
Yes.
Yeah. So
austerity includes three things: satyam, priyam, hitam. That is truthful and pleasing and beneficial to the person.
Oh, okay. Well, very nice. Very good. Thank you. You could throw that one in there. Yeah, that's good. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of the wife of a Baladir, who was enamored with the words of Krishna in the assembly of Nanda on the occasion of the sacrifice to Indra. Anyone know what a Baladir is?
Those who sing ballads.
Oh, ballads.
Baladir.
Oh, okay. Baladir. Oh, okay.
It seems a ballad.
Huh? Means there's one group of Brahmins that they what are those, what's the Sanskrit, I don't remember. But especially with the kings, you'll always see them. You have the Sutas, the Magadhas, and one other group. And so then they always, you know, when the king comes, then they talk about his greatness and all that, and how he defeated this, when he did that, and all these great things. And like that. So the ballads must be that they can tell long stories.
Yes.
And then there's the ones that can just glorify like that, and then the ones who know that, you know, like that. Balladeer. Wow. She speaks to her friends. The first line starting with Aslishta, showing the sweetness of diction. Right, so just how it's pronounced is very sweet. The second line shows the sweetness in the composition, the placement of each syllable and word. The third line indicates the sweetness of the tone. Sometimes, aklishtam, undisturbed, calm, is seen instead of ashlishta, clear and meeting. Right? Okay.
For them, this is most important while they're telling stories. And all. They have to go through all this.
So okay. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Otherwise, yeah. If it's rough, no one will like it. Yeah. Okay. Unless you're a balladeer for like orcs or trolls, then it doesn't matter. So An example of the skillful meaning of words is as follows. The words of Krishna, skillful at changing the hearts of his adversaries, superior to all in extinguishing all doubts in the universe, authoritative and economical, endowed with many meanings, have today made all my mental functions blissful. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's speech, which contains all good qualities in the universe, is described in the following statement by Uddhava. Quote, the words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart of even his opponent. His words can immediately solve all the questions and problems of the world. Although he does not speak very long, each and every word from his mouth contains volumes of meanings. These speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to my heart. And Uddhava, we know, when it comes to appreciating this, he's the most qualified. Because he's been trained by Brihaspati. So he'll understand this on the highest level. So he'll just see that perfection of Krishna's, skillful meaning of words. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of Uddhava. The first line shows his skill in satisfying others. The second line shows his skill in logic. The third line shows his skill in speaking truth. Pramita akshara can mean measured words, not wasting words, or authoritative words. That's the meaning of economical. He only uses how many have to be done. So this is then eloquence. He can say it very concisely. Yeah? He uses colorful meanings of words while arguing, reasoning, and concluding. Vividharta mayi. The fourth line shows a skill in creativity or imagination. So all this put together makes it very attractive. He can convince. And it's also, as mentioned, it's always the truth. Mm. Like that. And at the same time, it can have many meanings. So if one word, by one statement, you can have deal with many different levels, then why wouldn't you use it? Mm. Right? That's the whole. So if need be, there's repetition because it's important, it needs to be repeated. Mm. Or it may be repeated because there's some slight variations in it. Mm. Or if by saying one thing it can mean all those, then that's the best.
Mm. Is it the reason why in this four lines there is four skills? Is it satisfying the first, logic, speaking truth, and like that? Is it there is one way?
Meaning just how the layout of the verse.
Yes.
I mean that in the one verse he's describing all four aspects of this one quality. Because the quality means it has all these different aspects to it.
Yeah.
So you're bringing out, because you may have the basic thing, is okay, what he says he can change the hearts, but it's also, he can remove doubts. See, it's just like, you can say something that someone will agree with you.
Yes.
Right? And then you speak, so wouldn't it be like this, that, and you go, okay, and then you walk off, you've been convinced, but as soon as you walk off, you go, hey, wait a minute. So you didn't deal with doubts, like that. And you might have people who can do that, but it's not true. It's just for their own purpose, they're trying to get something done. So it also has this truthful. And at the same time, is there are those who can do this, but they can talk forever to get it done.
Yes.
And Krishna can do this. So we see is that this ability then has these four aspects. It just makes it superior. Because others might have one of these aspects. Yes. It's just like before, the markings. Mm-hmm. The auspicious, the markings on his feet are like this. That other avatars may have a few of them, but no one will have all of them. So in the same way as we see Krishna, others may have these qualities. Like the jivas may have these 50 qualities, but they won't have them to the degree and extent that Krishna will. So it just brings out how, and these are all variations on just about his ability in speaking. So that he can, change the minds, that what he says, it flows very naturally and all that, that he can say the appropriate things to the person, what's important. So all these are different aspects of just his ability to speak. And you saw before that he could speak any language.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only he can speak the language, but then he can deal with all the culture and niceness and be efficient in actually getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Technical question. Why is it only sometimes the Sanskrit verse is there and sometimes not? Because sometimes I found out it's helpful to set the verse because the child go and spend the meaning by grammatical meaning with the words. And sometimes,
so you, in other words, if in the purport they're commenting on the words and going through,
yes.
If you see it in the verse, you'll understand where it's from.
Yes.
It's the same one that went through. Okay. Same dog.
Good.
Yeah, same time. Same. Very regulated. And also then some of them are also words that ones that Prabhupada quotes.
I mean,
yeah, so there'll be that. But if you see these are ones that you've never heard of before, then it'll be what we're talking about. It's the technical. So your technical question then is because that is exactly because of that. The technical point. Yes.
This God at Krishna at Goloka Vrindavan, when you speak to the person around him, you have pure and pure for Sabin, different rasa. What is it good because the person who creates?
The which are the person is?
Yes, when you speak to somebody or an animal or
yeah.
What you want to do ultimately? You want to increase his love or you want to
it's just in interacting. It's just depending upon their interaction. Like the gopis are interacting with Krishna. He speaks their language. The demigods want to come and interact. Just like it's not an uncommon thing that when Krishna comes back from the cowherd fields in the evening, when they're coming back, you know, because they're just walking, the demigods will come down and offer prayers to Krishna on his way back. And so then he'll speak to them in Sanskrit. But like the cowherd boys, he'll speak in the local, in the you know, in the Mathura Bhasha. Right? Like that. And so, and then the animals, he'll speak to them in their language. Like when Krishna plays on his flute, then he like in the night in Rasa, he calls the gopis. So others won't hear it, or won't understand what's said. But also then when he gets to Tir Kadamba, he sits in the tree there, and then calls all the head of the cows, because there's, in all his cows, they're in 108 groups. So each group of cows, you know, so in other words, there's 108 herds within his one herd. And each one has a head cow. That's just how it works. Like we have at the Gurukul in the Goshala there, the first cow that came, it was, you know, it was a little bit older cow, small cow. But so any other cows came after that, because now there's like 15 or 20 there. She's the head cow. Doesn't matter. The others are bulls or this or that or bigger than her. It does not matter at all. She's the head cow. It's just the way it is. You can just see how they're dealing and all that. Yeah?
Even the Goshala, now they have 20, 25 groups.
Right.
When they bring a new cow, they try to put it in one herd. If the leader likes it, she's there. If the leader kicks him away, then they change.
That's why I put him in another
one. So that leader is comfortable, then he's in.
Yeah. So therefore, then when he plays the fruit, he calls the head cow. And then when that head cow, you know, calls their name, so he calls them through that, and then they come.
But during the interaction, all we have the same goal is to please each other, whether to give sweetness, truth.
No, the point is it's just in the pastime. It's just what would be appropriate for the thing. It means it's always a matter of personal interaction. It's just a matter of the situation, which quality you'd be using. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but what it's dark for me, it's because here, when we interact with the devotee, they always want to bring us to Krishna consciousness, but at Goraka Vrindavan, they are conscious of Krishna, except maybe the virtuous.
Yes, but bringing you to Krishna consciousness means you engage in Krishna's service. So it's the same thing they're doing in Braj. They're engaged in Krishna's service, and here, then we're trying to always be engaged in Krishna's service. So it's the same thing. Like that. Does that make sense? So when you, because the idea is to engage in service, so in engaging the discussions that go on in service, that would be the same. It's just that we have the added here to be convinced that we should be engaged in Krishna's service, while there they don't have to, they don't require that.
So are there a kind of super something we will in the service we can really said that the service devotional is the thing to attract the more Krishna.
It's the bhakti that attracts Krishna. It's the devotion itself that attracts Krishna.
Yeah. So, and in the relationship, when we talk to him during our service,
it's based on the relationship. So there's the natural expression of relationship. So it's not having to accomplish something, it's about expressing the relationship. In there, you use the mechanics of knowledge and accomplishment. But it's not that's why it's going on. Does that make sense?
Well, it seems that all the qualities of Krishna are mainly for interaction with the devotee.
Yeah. It means his secondary qualities, that's not based on, that's why they're considered secondary.
Yes.
That he's all pervading, he's the supreme, he's the creator, maintaining, and destroyer. These aren't for interacting with the devotees.
This is 64, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why you see his others, that there's that area where it's like that. So you see is that he has these common ones that the humans, and that's these 50 are the ones that then we can interact with Krishna.
Yes.
Then those ones like Brahma and Shiva and all that, those are for the demigods.
Yes.
And stuff like
yes.
that. You know, and like all these great things, Vaikuntha and that. Then you see this last four again, and that's how he interacts. Because Vaikuntha, even though it's Bhagavan, it's basically kind of like the Paramatma feature of Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
It's within Bhagavan, but it has that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Just like those of Shantaras, it'll be Bhagavan, but it'll have the flavor of Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's within Bhagavan. That makes sense, you know. And then the jnanis, it'll just be Brahma without that bhakti. So that's why sometimes you see them mentioned together. Is that, so when we're discussing this, we're discussing it on Bhagavan of Bhagavan.
Yes,
so that's Braj. It's only in Braj that. Because in Dwarka, it'll have that, you know, even within that, it'll have that little bit of Paramatma or a little bit of Brahma, like this. So it just has a little less, because you just keep breaking it down. Being knowledgeable has two aspects. Knowledgeable of all branches of all subjects and knowledgeable of proper conduct. Right? So nowadays, knowledgeable generally means it's just, you know, knowledge itself. But it also mentions what is proper conduct. That generally is not. It means if you find someone who's scholarly that has that, that will be the most appreciated. You'll consider them, you know, more complete.
Yes.
But you'll generally consider them a gentleman, and then they're knowledgeable. But,
yes.
But you can be considered knowledgeable if you only know the subject, even though you don't necessarily know really how well to behave. Or okay, you do okay, but you know it's in a particular situation. You know, like this, like it's a program, and they're going to come up and speak. They can come up and do that, but interact with people outside of that, they can't do.
Yes.
You know, so yes.
So these qualities, they're like, if they're intertwined, so they like make it more, how to say, beautiful. Or
yes, yes. That's the whole idea. The different flavors come together. It makes it more nice than the singular one itself.
Like when somebody is not knowledgeable or sordid and he speaks nicely, it's odd.
Yes, yes, yes. Like that. So these things, it's just like, let's say you have sugar. It's nice on its own. You can eat it itself. Milk is also nice, but when you put the two together, it becomes better than either one of them singular. You know, it's like that. So that's the idea. It has these two parts. Srila Prabhupada, highly learned. When a person is highly educated and acts strictly on moral principles, he is called highly learned. A person conversant in different departments of knowledge is called educated. And because he acts on moral principles, he is called morally stout. Together, these two factors constitute learning. So that's learning, when you two go together. That's why in the Vedic system, without the character training, it's not education. The modern, as long as you learn, then it's okay. You know, it means you should behave enough that you're not going to bother everybody. You know, But it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be moral. Right? So that's the point. So the Vedic, you have to have both. That's considered highly learned. So you see, that term is used, like Prabhupada mentions about Sudama Brahmana. He's highly learned. So now and again, we'll see him use the term. He doesn't just say he's learned or he's a scholar. Say highly learned. Srila Jiva Goswami. Knowledgeable of all branches of knowledge refers to scriptural knowledge only. Yatartha Krit means that, having the scriptural knowledge, the person knows what is to be done. So he has that scriptural knowledge, he knows how to apply it in the proper, you know, how you say, context. You know, according to religion, according to the culture, like that. So just having, that's why this modern, the point of knowledge and skills is totally overbalanced. They think, no, that's complete, but it's not, unless you have the character and the culture. Unless you know the Dharma, then it doesn't mean anything. It means, yes, you might get some money, but you won't have relationships. And so if money is the ultimate goal, then yes, then why come to this movement? You know, there's plenty of movements that are just profit-oriented. We come here because it's about relationships and the relationships between the devotees and Krishna. Right? So if we have to cultivate on that level, the relationships. And so we have knowledge based on scripture. So we're speaking outside of scripture, that doesn't make us knowledgeable. So from both points, knowledge and skill on the modern, where it's just only on the way of occupation and it's not based on scripture, it's neither highly nor learned nor either of them. It's just, it doesn't have anything to it. You know. Does that make sense? Yes.
If a person behaves without gentleness with us, what's happened for him in the future?
That, it's a matter of Krishna will take care of that. That's his business. For us, it's how we should act. Because we see here, as Krishna, even he's dealt with badly, still deals nicely. Like that. So we don't have to worry. We know that if we do like that, we behave properly, no matter what, Krishna will be pleased. And the other person is not pleasing to Krishna, so what happens to them, Krishna is arranging.
And what is the good behavior for a devotee? How we react if somebody is not gentle? Did he say something, or he just...
Not necessarily. I mean, the point is what's our position? Are we in a position to do something about it? Are they our dependent or so? Like a parent and the child speaks badly. So then the parents, you know, they are responsible. So then they take care of trying to train them. But if we're not in a position where it's our responsibility, then generally we don't need to get involved. You know, because it'll be taken care of. You know, Krishna's energies, you know, see everything. So all we do is then we just act what would be appropriate for us to do. Does that make sense?
What I saw in cultured people that when somebody offends them or is really ugly, so they just apologize to him. Because she was asking all that what to do with such person. So they, like cultured people, apologize even to those who are very offensive.
You're just giving a practical how to apply. He's saying just like Krishna said there. What was it? What was Krishna saying? The Kaliya. Yes. My dear King of Snakes, although I've given you much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. So it's just speaking nicely. It's not, you know, you can take it as it's an apology and this and that, but it's not from the position of saying he did something wrong or anything. He's just saying that, you know, sorry about this. So they're saying this, that, and so many things. Oh, sorry if you feel like that. It's, it just moves like that. Because the point is it's not about a sense of justice on the platform of action and reaction. It's a matter of what's pleasing to Krishna, because that's the actual justice. Real justice is everything's being done to please Krishna. Right? And so then the result of that is one moves forward in Krishna consciousness. If one's not doing that, then the problem comes is one won't move towards Krishna. And so that's a sad part, because Krishna wants all the living entities to come to them. So you're always trying to find a way in which the living entities can come to Krishna. Yes.
But if children consider that nowadays it's not fashionable to use violent speech and there are more people say rough words, what is the responsibility of parents?
Parents, it's still the same thing. The point is that, okay, amongst their so-called cool friends, they like to speak rough. But now that rough speaking, is that going to get them a job? Is that going to make things work nicely with their family and friends? Will they get ahead in the world? So yes, amongst your small group of so-called cool dudes, then what will that get you in the future? It seems really important right now, but there's life. So the point is if they don't know how to speak nicely, those cool dudes go away. You're with them now, and then when you graduate, you may never see those cool dudes again. And now you have to deal with the whole rest of the world, which does not like you. And how successful that'll be. So if the whole idea of going to school is that we'll be able to situate ourselves, in our life so that we can progress through life, then you have to look at that. So yes, I mean, and it's also you have the aspect of Krishna and being able to speak multiple languages. So yes, amongst his friends, he can talk how they talk. That's just one language. But if he thinks that is the language, that is not very educated. Mm-hmm. Educated means, okay, you can talk with your friends, but you also know how to talk with the teachers, you know how to talk with the adults, with the parents, with friends outside of that cool dude group. Does that make sense? That's educated. So they have to know is that, okay, you speak that with your friends, but don't speak that here. And then they say, well, why not? Because you'll get in trouble for it. But I want to talk like that. It says, yeah, that means then you'll want people to harass you and ignore you the whole rest of your life. And if that's what you want, because you talk like that to your boss, you don't move up. You may end up, as the janitor, or may get fired. And if that's what you want, hey, you're on the path to success. But if you want to make some money, that's a whole different consideration. That's the whole thing. One has to know, and you just have to tell them that. Because the thing is, this is the fun part, is that the kids, as they get older, a little bit older, they really sincerely think they're super intelligent. And that their intelligence is beyond anybody else's intelligence. So you just have and because they're a little clever, they can see some connections and they make funny connections and all that. So you just have to show them that you know that, and since you've been doing it for longer than them, you're better at it than them. And because their friends are just cool and they just say the things and, without all the, emotions and all that, you can just say it also very straightforward and very truthfully. So you don't use heavy emotions and yelling and screaming. You just say, you do this and this is what's going to happen. It's like you drop the brick, you're going to squash your toes. You squash your toes, then you can't walk. So you can't walk, then it makes it very hard to move around and get anything done. Right? And that if you can't walk and you can't go out, that means you have to stay at home. Staying at home means you're going to be here with me all day. Being here with me all day, you're going to get bored. So is that what you want? No. So then don't drop the brick on your foot. And they go, oh, okay. Because everyone said, don't drop the brick, are you crazy? Why? Like that. Oh, my mom's being trippy. You can drop it on your foot. It says, I'm cool if you're home all day. Like that. But the problem is are you going to be cool with that? What about your friends? Oh, he's at home with his mom. Why? Because he dropped his book on his foot. He's an idiot, like this. So, yeah, is that what you want? Then go for it. Okay. So you just have to be more clever than that. And use the words that you want them to use.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In Gita, it is said that when one is learned, he is humble. And the humble sage sees with equal vision the Brahmana, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. Mm. So there you are mentioning, like Acharya comments. So he is seeing with equal vision, one in goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Yes.
But in the lecture you are telling, but when it comes to dealing, you have to deal according to their modes.
Yes, according to their modes. Yeah. Yes, very good. Yeah. Okay, so we got the dog going by, but we didn't get the dog either. Right?
Probably on the other side of the fence.
Yes, where'd the dog go? Okay. That's why it comes to me every day, because that guy goes why every day, so the dog goes,
shoop. Okay. Smart dog.
Yeah, smart dog.
We got elephants.
Yeah, the elephants. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami, knowledgeable of all branches of knowledge refers to scriptural knowledge only. Right? Because other knowledge, that's common knowledge. Just because you know those common, that doesn't mean that you're learned. You may be very good in a particular skill and all that, but that's not the learning that is of value for the soul. That other learning is only learning that's valuable for the body and the situation you're in. Now, the scriptural knowledge then will take care of the body and at the same time as the soul can advance. That's the advantage of the Vedic knowledge. Modern is the body can advance, you know, or maintain. The Vedic is body will advance, but more importantly, the soul can advance. So that's why we sometimes when we take the modern knowledge against the Vedic, and then we're saying, no, but it's better for health or this or that. Yes, but how is it making you God conscious? You know what I'm saying? Because if you'll notice when you talk to a natural food freak or anything like that, they never once say the word Krishna. They never will. Because it's not about Krishna. It's not about Krishna consciousness. It's just about the body.
It's about the food.
Yeah. Because their body's not in a good shape either. So, yeah. Just generally you become a natural food freak because you're not healthy. And then because they become a food freak, they never become healthy either. So. That makes sense. So the element is that you're talking the material only takes care of material. It's observing the material and seeing the effect on the material. But there's no condition of observing the effect on the soul. So even though it may be contaminating to the soul, binding to the soul, that won't be part of the equation. So someone becomes more and more entangled, but they don't know it because it's seemingly efficiently working on a platform of dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. And in this case, it's artha or kama, generally. Mm-hmm. Because dharma and moksha are being thrown out for this.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, we're discussing, was it here? Remember, it was someday that, you know, sometimes these natural food things, devotees are bringing that up in the 60s and 70s to Prabhupada. They bring that up, and there's conversations of that, where they're bringing up, oh, but this is not good, and that's not good, and that, it's all, it means according to natural food freaks, nothing's good for you. Right? You can say, no, there's something, that's today, but tomorrow that same thing will be bad for you. You know, because it's only by observation. So that's the difficulty, is that you're working on this platform and seeing this, and so but Prabhupada just put it on the side. It's a matter of, you know, what do we offer to Krishna? What's recommended? Because it's more important what you eat, the volume you eat, the regularity you eat, and the attitude in which you eat it. That will make you healthy, because otherwise there's plenty of healthy people that eat all kinds of stuff that just shouldn't be eaten. Because of that. They're comfortable with it, they like it. They're comfortable with it. They eat it on a regular basis. They don't eat too much. Like that, they have a nice attitude when they're eating, and that's what will make them healthy. Because then you'll assimilate whatever good is there. Even though, let's say, in this food, this processed food, let's say, there's only 30% value in it. But they'll absorb all 30%. But someone else who's in anxiety about that, because they don't follow any of that. Because it's like, if it's good for you, you eat this much, you eat a huge amount of it. They come out that this is a superfood. You eat that, you just ridiculous amounts of it. Like that. and the attitude is not right, and this and that, and you know, when you're eating and someone else is eating something else, you're always complaining about what they're eating and stuff like this. So even though maybe in what you've got, it's got 95% or 98%, like that, but you won't absorb that much.
Yes.
So the guy eating the other stuff, he's getting 30%, you're getting less. So that's the whole thing. So that's what we're meaning here. The Vedic, it will consider all this plus how the soul can advance. So we always have to be very, very careful that we don't take these lower levels of knowledge and try to use them against the scriptural knowledge. Because otherwise, if we do that, then we're not acting on moral principles. Moral principles means what should be done and not done according to scripture. Is that then you're highly learned. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura.
So that means we need to be trained.
We have to be trained, yes. Because in the Vedic thing, it's all about, you know, because Ayurveda means it's about proper health. So you're going to eat proper food and all that. But the thing is how do you know what's proper food? What time to eat food? Like that. You know, so there's certain times of the day you eat certain things, in certain seasons. So Ayurveda gives all that. So then that will be more. But we'll just go by, the latest superfood. But the point is whatever's the latest superfood, the previous ones now aren't. Nobody cares anymore. And the fun part is the things that everyone's jumping up and down about now, that this is the newest, latest thing, was the same stuff that they were jumping up and down about in the 60s. Like that. You know, quinoa's new. But chia seeds, that's not. Chia seeds were, you know, they were known then. You know, spirulina, all these things. So it's the same thing. It just comes in these cycles and that. And it's just like teenage kids. They learned about it today. They know about it. They're knowledgeable. Everybody else is an idiot, even though everybody else may know about it. So that's the difficulty with these things, is that they're based on the mundane concept. And because of that, they don't see it in the context of the soul, how the soul will advance. You know. So you have to be able to see the balance, and you have to see it according to scripture. Just like, let's say, the training the kid, sometimes you may have to use rewards. But it's not about getting rewards. It's about engaging in the beneficial activity. Because as they get older, then you'll start to explain how it's not about rewards. And about how there's the duty and how there's beyond that the Krishna consciousness. But if someone doesn't know, I use rewards and it gets a good effect, I'll just keep using that only. And so then, yes, you'll get a good effect up to a certain time when the rewards that you offer aren't enough for them to be inspired.
Yes.
Right? And so, in other words, starting around 11 to 13, whatever you can offer is not enough. Guaranteed. Right? So then it's you know, because a cookie is not going to be enough. You know, it's got to be a new video game or a motorcycle or, you know, like that. So it's not going to work. So, and even those who have the money to make that work, it still doesn't work, because then the kid, that nothing will satisfy them. And so they can't have a relationship with anyone or anything, because it's all about themselves and they're just lost. So one knows that, okay, now at this age, then that will inspire them. But as they get older, you start to train them what's actually the position.
Mm-hmm.
So you train it out of them. So that's why the Vedas will deal with all these elements. They can see the complete picture. Well, the modern cannot see the complete picture because they don't even know what the picture is. So that's the difficulty. So, John.